The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
Welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. Mr. Aniset. So, are you there?
Yes, good day, pleasant day to you, Trinidad and Tobago. And as I always say, blessings from the Most High and our ancestors.
All right, thank you there very much. Thank you for taking my call. So I know you're a very busy man.
Yeah, always willing, you know, to exchange important for the country.
All right, so, well, we're talking today about the trade union and politics. People have always had a little contention about, you know, about the trade union and politics. But what say you, why should the trade union want to get into politics into the first place? Can you serve?
No, but why? Why should not the trade union be involved in politics?
Well, tell the people.
Our history, one, is rooted in politicians and trade unions being involved in politics and taking over governments. Mm-hmm. And I could call a million and one Caribbean islands, including Trinidad and Tobago.
But some
so
people,
then what is the issue?
Yeah, well, some people would say you can't serve two masters, because sometimes the trade unions is there to look out for its members, and sometimes things that the government is doing might not be in too much of, you know, in the best interest of your members. So if, you know, like let me say, like the 4% and thing, let me say they keep that 4%. If the trade union does go in cahoots with the government, and the government want to keep that 4% or whatever, is that, you know, in line with what your members would want? Or you're going with somebody who's
for the reason? All right, no, I hear what you're saying, but those are simplistic minds. Those are minds that do not do what I will want to call the deep analysis and understanding of what a trade union is all about. Mm-hmm. You know, and then everything that we have in the context of the 8-hour workday, in the context of pension rights, benefits, vacation leave, sick leave, all these things were fought for by and through the trade union movement, and it never compromised the trade union movement. And I find it strange that, you know, people will say that, because when you talk about serving two masters, what do you mean? Collective bargaining is one process of the trade union movement, which was legislated, as you may be aware, and is a requirement under the law that you must have 51% of workers, right, in order to do a collective agreement. And if you don't have 51% of the workers, you may have 50, you cannot go and sign a collective agreement for and on behalf of those workers. Those are the laws. But the point that I will want to make is that the trade union movement has always done advocacy work, not only on behalf of the workers, but on behalf of the citizens of Trinidad and Tobago and the Caribbean region. The trade union was in the forefront of the fight for independence. Mm-hmm. We had trade unions who formed political parties long before the PNM. And then therefore, why must we forget our history? Because it suits somebody to say you're serving two masters. Are you saying because you align yourself with a political party that you will compromise your principles and your manhood and undermine yourself at the altar of the political party? And I will want to make the point, is the politicians, based on our constitution, who makes the laws on behalf of the people of Trinidad and Tobago. And I'm therefore, we must be in a position to advocate
to have
on
a seat
behalf
at the table
of the citizenry. We must be. Come on, let us get serious. So then, if you confine me to only for collective bargaining and grievance handling, how am I going to advocate for changes? How am I going to advocate for a better Trinidad and Tobago? How am I going to advocate for a better future for my children and my grandchildren? Am I going to do that wrong the collective bargaining table? No. The collective bargaining table speaks only to when a union is recognized who will have 51% of the workers, you'll get a certificate saying that you are the recognized union, and then and only then could you engage a company in collective bargaining. It's a legal process that you have to go through.
All right, so
and people must understand the laws before they make statements.
All right, so when the trade unions go into an agreement with a political party, is there an agreement saying that, you know, this is what we want, this is what we stand for, if you're going with this, we're going with this? Is there an agreement? Are there talks before?
Well, then obviously there will be conversations. All right, and then you see, it is interesting, you know, and I want to ask the question. So then if the trade unions, and by extension, because the trade union is not a figure, the trade union is not a name, it's a trade union which represent workers. So then if we are not to be involved in politics, are we to vote during elections? Because that is politics too. Mm-hmm. The right to exercise my franchise is a political decision, and one must go deeper. So let me answer your question. All right. I have seen a lot of parties, including the PNM, who would have signed an agreement. The former Prime Minister and Roger signed an agreement when there was an alliance. Right, the Jay Tom, well, it wasn't Jay Tom at that time. We had the Faisabad Accord. And like every other thing, sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't work out, because you're dealing with human beings. And even within your own household, you have disagreements. And because you have a disagreement, what does that mean? You must stop your advocacy and trying to use your persuasion and your lobby in order to get the best for your members and by extension, the working class. Because it's not your member, the trade union, see workers, the disadvantage. And anybody who is employable but not an employee, the youths and everybody, we see them as a class of people where we deem them to be the working class, which covers a broad spectrum of our people, and therefore we have the right to speak for and on their behalf.
Mm-hmm. All right, now I know you always speak for behalf of your members, but in terms of the public expects a certain level of service when we go to any public service institution. I mean, sometimes on our lunchtime, you know, I mean, I know everybody deserves their lunch, but the place always had it completely shut down. You know, sometimes you go by a cashier, just one cashier working. I mean, the customer service and the service seems to be very, very poor in a lot of these institutions. As much as you advocate for, you know, betterments for your workers, what about betterments, you know, who advocates a betterment for us, the citizens of Trinidad and Tobago?
All right, let me answer you. Don't let us mix up the workers and those who administer the business. Because I too complain. I was in the transport division down Carony.
Mm-hmm.
It had about 40-something people in the line and one cashier.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to blame the worker for that? What is the role of the supervisor? What is the role of the manager? What is the role of the administrative arm of doing business? You see, a worker do operate on its own. And I was saying, just like you, but the supervisor must see so many people there. Can they put two extra people there to assist when on the other side there was no people there and they had cashiers there? And then those are administrative issues and the bureaucracy that ties down how we do business in Trinidad and Tobago. And it is both in the private sector and the public sector. And I am saying that we need to review that, and the trade union movement have been an advocate for changing the laws, one, and letting our independence and republic constitution be reflective of the real issues that are affecting us. All right? And then those are the facts. So you cannot blame the trade union movement for that. That is a managerial problem. That is rooted in a kind of bureaucracy that we should put an end to in Trinidad and Tobago.
No, you say the private, you put private sector and public sector. If that happened in the private sector, somebody would be fired. That's the difference.
No, that is just a talk.
Oh.
People say things, and let me see the reality. I have gone to Clico, and there's one arm cashier, and I made some noise. I made some noise. I didn't see nobody get fired. I have gone to other institution banks at a particular time where you have so many people and you only have two cashiers. Mm. I have witnessed that. So I could speak with authority, and I'm speaking on a factual basis because of my experience and many other people's experiences.
The difference with banks is we could take the money out of the bank, but Trinidad isn't at the belly for that.
No. Well, then the bank is a monopolistic place. And then we do not have what I will want to call alternatives where our investments will mean something to the working class. And that's something that we have to talk about, right? That an investment is a return on the dollar. You put your money in the bank. The bank charges 0.00, sometimes 1% and 2%, but they take your money and I'm lending it out and charge as much as 10, 15 percentage points. And if you go for a statement, you have to pay for it. Those are the realities in Trinidad and Tobago. And those are things that we have to start to talk about as a people if we are serious about progressing the country to another level.
All right. So what are some of the things that the trade union movement in terms of the politics is bringing to the table or would be bringing to the table?
No, well, in terms of the politics, the first thing that I want to point out, which a lot of people do not pay attention to, the trade union movement through NEGFW and Seamen and Waterfront Workers Trade Union got together and formed a construction company. And we were able to build houses. Don't forget that in Valsin, when the deceased minister, Valley, was up against ordinary workers coming to live in Valsin because he said we will devalue the place. So we were able to do that. And that has been a successful experiment by the trade union movement in the context of building houses that are affordable in areas where normally the ordinary worker would not have been able to buy a house. No, nobody talks about that. But you know what is the damning thing about that? When the Keith Rowley government came into power, Patrick Manning left some houses for us to develop in Valsin, and the Keith Rowley government took it back from the trade union movement. But that is another conversation. The things that we talk about, and I don't care what nobody tell me, you cannot have a government that is in violation of the principles of good industrial relation. And what do I mean by that? Is that this government, when they came into power, took more than 10 years, going in 10 years, all right, before, right, workers were offered wage increases. And over a 10-year period, where the cost of living has been astronomical, prices of goods and services has gone. You offer 0.02, 0.02, take it or leave it. If you like it, go to court. That, in my estimation, is a demonstration of our insensitivity and a creeping dictatorship that one has to be careful about in Trinidad because we are governed by the Industrial Relations Act. And may I add to the general public that all the private sectors have been able to complete their negotiations, and I dare say the average increase is 9%. But this government, that is for a 3-year period, but this government was offering 4% for a 6-year period. And for the public to understand what we are saying is that 2% means 2 cents on your dollar. That is what it means in reality, right? That is what it means in reality. So that the government was offering you 2 cents on your dollar, right, to be able to cope with all the inflationary trends, core inflation, highlight in inflation, and increase in goods and services, while there was no mechanism to control the price increases. And what the government was saying, allow the market force to dictate what will happen. But when it comes to the workers, you offer this meager starvation wages, which is pushing public servants, because only the government would have done that, to a place that is unforgivable. We have government institutions where workers have to walk with their own toilet paper. They can't deny that. What is happening, you know, under the so-called disguise? You understand that there is no money. But look at the cost to run an ad. Now that is election. Every day on a radio station. Where are you finding that money? Who's financing that? And those are the questions that we bring to the table. And I'm one of the things that I am aware of is that that will be one of the demands of the trade union movement, that 4%. Secondly, the question is to ensure that the work environment is safe and healthy, and you find mechanisms where there will be sustainable employment, and the normal young entrepreneurial people will be able to really invest money, right, in order to get real returns to develop a cadre of young business people. Those are some of the things that we have been talking about.
All right, sir. But are these things, like I said, it's nice to have you. Is there a shake and agreement with whatever party you're going with, or we have it written in our manifesto? You trust people that they will honor these things that you're bringing forth?
All right. Well, there was the Faizabad Accord that was signed. There was the agreement that was signed with Roche and Keith Rowley. And let us not forget, with the Clause 34, right, the PNM government rallied and was with the trade union movement marching up and down to repeat that, you know, people in Trinidad seems to have some short memories. So when it's to them, they come to the trade union movement. And then don't forget that the trade union was in the forefront with the march down Chagaramas to take back Chagaramas from the Yankee. We seem to forget. Don't forget that in 1919, the dock workers were the first people to strike in Trinidad and Tobago, demanding better terms and conditions and wages for the ordinary worker in Trinidad and Tobago. I am just saying that to demonstrate, and I could go further, the role of the trade union movement. If you look at Guyana, if you look at Grenada, if you look at this place, Barbados, if you look at Jamaica, if you look at Antigua, if you look at St. Vincent, all these countries, right, were formed and led by trade unionists who became prime ministers of the country. Bustamante, the first prime minister in Jamaica, he was a trade union leader, the cousin of Michael Manley. Everybody seemed to forget these things. And they don't understand our historical and cultural antecedent. And we just talk for talking's sake.
Mm-hmm. All right, folks. Of course, we're talking to Mr. Michael Anisa, General Secretary of the National Trade Union, NATUC. We'll take your calls in a short while. What about some forward-thinking things to put forward, like, you know, decentralization, people working from home, a little shift system, not everybody had to be coming to work at 8 a.m. to kind of alleviate the traffic. Anything like that on the cards?
Yeah, well, that is a productivity issue in Trinidad and Tobago, and it also affects the young children who have to get up 4 o'clock, depending on where they're working, to get in town by 8 o'clock. And when they reach the school, they are sleeping on themselves. And those are things that obviously, from a layman perspective, because we are the ears and the nose on the ground, that we raise, and then we would like to see, honestly, a change even in the educational system, because we believe that the educational system is too rooted in our colonial past, and there hasn't been any fundamental changes to reflect our realities and set an educational program that will speak to what it is we want in Trinidad. For example, what do we want next 20 years for Trinidad and Tobago? Where do we want to go? Where do we want to carry the economy? How do we build an educational system around those plans, like it's done in Singapore, like it's done in China? Because we don't have to reinvent the wheels. We call countries who are progressive with a plan in that way. And we fail to plan in our country. And sometimes when you speak to those things, people are believing that they're bashing the government. No, it's not about bashing the government. It's about being truth to truth and being truth to the reality. And if we cannot understand what is the source of the problem, or if we don't want to identify it, we cannot find a solution. Those are some. And then we agree that given our educational system and then what is happening with the youths and the crime and all these kinds of things, we need to step back and then take a look, and we need to start to build what I will want to call more technical education. All right, because you remember in our times, well, I would say in my times, we had the Jundis and all these kinds of places. All right, and then when a government shut down Petrotrin because they get away with the president of the union without total disregard, I should say, for the community and the people of Trinidad, and now we have to now go and buy oil from Jamaica and other places. Who is going to answer those questions? And let me raise another point that no one speaks of. When the government shut down the sea bridge, when they were advised by our union, the seamen, don't allow the vessel to leave because we cannot get vessels at the time. And the minister said no. And they allowed the vessel to leave, and the sea bridge broke down, the economy suffered immensely, and no one has asked what is the cost to the people of Trinidad and Tobago because of that decision that was taken that was wrong. All right, and who is held accountable for those kinds of decisions that is rooted in politics but is not business-wise, or it doesn't speak to Trinidad and Tobago and the implications and the impact for the people of Trinidad and Tobago? All those things are things that we have raised. And for those who don't know, the issue of the ferry service, that was a brainchild when Patrick Manning was alive, God bless his soul, was a brainchild of the SWTU, Seamen and Waterfront Workers Trade Union. So that I can demonstrate, but we don't talk about things like that because that is not news. If we strike, yeah, you're going to hear that in the papers and it running whole day. But we have some deep concerns over our youths, and we have raised that because they are our future, and we have to prepare them for the world of work and the new world of work. Mm-hmm. And we are not doing a good job, my friend.
All right, yeah, man. We're going to take some calls in just a short while. Speaking of the youth, I mean, plans for the youth, like I say, educational system, revamping the educational system, maybe even making our Ministry of Labor, to me, has been dormant. I mean, Ministry of Labor needs to come a little bit more forward. What about crime? What does the trade unions have any, well, I wouldn't say necessary solutions, but where do they stand with crime and any ideas on crime?
All right, first, let us be honest. Crime is a reflection of our society. And our view is that we need to begin to understand. Let me give you an example from where we sit. We would have made representation that the CPEP should not be an ingrained system within our society. It should be a system whereby you use that to train people over a period of time to give them
his skills.
I have been saying that for years. You know, this CPEP should be a stepping stone where you give them a time, either 6 months for a year, and let them move on to learn something, get a school living program.
No, you have to train them too. Man. All right. And then it is the philosophy is, if you give me a fish, you're going to feed me for a day. But if you give me a fishing rod, I could fish for myself and feed myself. And that is the philosophy that we have. But every government that come into power, they condemn it when they were in opposition. And when they come into government, they hold on to it and it grow bigger. And then it becomes a political base for whatever political party is in power. And that is unfair to the people, because you're not really developing what I would want to call the productive juice of the society, because that is not productivity. It is not generating any returns in any way, and it doesn't grow the economy. And one has to pay attention to things like that. And then when you say that, people will say, boy, like you want people to eat a food or eat a... No, it's not about eating a food and eating a bread. The question to the trade union movement, and from where we sit, is it that system that you want, that the kind of value that we want to bring in our society? That is what we want to judge people on. And the answer in the trade union movement is no. It is no. Look at Singapore. Look at the size of Singapore and look at where they are. That is because there was the political will and the willingness to develop Singapore to another level. And I am saying that we are not seeing that in any form, shape, or fashion. And I am saying that the democratization of democracy has to be in the forefront. Democracy cannot be that every 5 years you come and vote, and you come and you have a big rally, a big this, and you launch this, and then we go on back to the same old story where the financiers, the business elite, and the political elites benefit, and we still have to be scrambling for crumbs.
All right, now let's take those questions, folks. Actually, of course, to be, you know, quick, short, and be respectful. 625-2257, 627-3223, and WhatsApp us as well. You know the numbers. All right, there we go. First question. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Anderson.
So if I'm pleasant afternoon to you.
If I'm to you, you all of it. The last statement that you just made about what? How you describe it? Businessmen and what?
The business elite and the political elite.
Let me ask you one question again. You said to us just now that you were building, you all had a construction company. Mr. Manning gave you all a contract. But when Dr. Rowley came into office, they stopped it. So it took you an additional 5 years to finish that contract, sir?
Comrade, you're asking. Hello?
Yes,
hello?
I'm listening.
All right, comrade, you're asking a question and you're juxtaposing what I said. I never said that. I said we have a construction company. Mm-hmm. It was formed by Siemens Union and NUGFW. And we build houses. We're still building houses at low cost in areas where the ordinary citizen would not have been able to afford a house. Hold on, allow me to finish your answer question, sir, mm-hmm. with the greatest of respect. I listen to you. I went on to say that God bless Manning's soul. He allocated housing in the same Valsin area where we develop for us to develop as a construction company on behalf of the people. And when this Rowley administration came into power, they took it away from us. I don't know how you arrived that we're not building houses. We are still building houses. What I am saying is an empirical fact that cannot be denied by anybody.
Brother man, I'm simply asking if the contract that you were giving under Mr. Manning extended over a period of 5 years. Simple. That all that story now give me the next thing.
All right, that's enough, fam. Baratire. One question, two questions, purpose. You can't be going on and on and on because you're still there all day. All right, you care to answer that last question he asked there about the extension of the contract?
Hello. I don't know what he mean by the extension of the contract. We were given a land to build houses in Valsin because the government took NUJFW land in Santa Cruz and there was an exchange. And we had to build our houses and finance it ourselves. It wasn't the government who financed it. We didn't have a contract with the government, but we exchanged land and we, as a construction company, was responsible for the development and building of those houses.
Mm-hmm. All right, okay. Next question. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Bass, and good afternoon to your guests. When Mr. Robinson was prime minister, when they had the URP, was unemployment relief program, and after 6 months you'd work in here, you go on to a program where they will train you to do all different skills, and then they will assist you with small businessmen and to get a loan where you can open your own business. URP was never something where it is they should be day after day, month after month, year after year, just waking up in the morning and going to do a menial work. I mean to say, they just finish work at early o'clock, 10 o'clock or whatever. But at the same time, they're not getting full pay as ordinary workers who work 8 hours. So this thing could come back and let them train and let them be businessmen, let them have developed the skills and be independent business people based. And to your guests, thank you.
Sorry, Ma, good suggestion there, yeah? And that's what you're talking about, I guess.
Yeah, well, I think she's saying the same thing that I alluded to and you alluded to. It is about time we look at the construct of these kinds of programs and make it, what I will want to say, worthwhile, make it educational, make it a program where those who are involved in it would be able to benefit from it by developing some kind of skills and some kind of business skills so that they could feed themselves.
All right. Take another question. Hello, good afternoon. Lost that one there. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Last time you called
from the union last. Oh no, I heard Mr. Munilal saying to us last night that they are going to pay 9%. So I'm asking you, did you all sign an agreement with the opposition that when they get into office, that the same public servant that you are fighting for are going to get 9%, sir?
Comrade, I cannot answer that because I am not part of any agreement with the UNC. I am speaking on behalf of the National Trade Union Center. Okay? And then, therefore, I could only speak towards that. That question will be properly directed to those who would have signed up for the alliances.
So your organization is not aligned with any party?
No. We are not aligned with any political party. We will put the facts on the table and let people make their own judgment. And we'll be brutally frank as to what is happening. And I'm one of the things that we are clear about, that the offer of the 4% and in the manner that it was offered and in the circumstances where you're still, and that was only done, let me repeat it, for government employees. And we consider it an insensitive and wicked act, and it demonstrates a lack of appreciation for government employees who have been languishing for as much as 11, 10, 12 years without salary increases. Mm-hmm. And I make no apologies for it. 2% is 2 cents on a dollar. And anybody who lives in Trinidad with AMSI and the private sector over the very said period were given as much as 12.9 percentage points increases for the very said 3 year periods.
All right, another question here.
That was Mr. Manon philosophy. They come in for 3 months, so I have 6 months, and after that, they move on. So someone I drop after I learn what I learn, but why this is to be learning CPAP? I don't understand.
No, but I mean, I believe you should give them, you know, like I say, a stipulation. Yes, you're getting something, they're getting like a stipend, they're getting a job, but within that, let me try to get something, get even if it's like get your maths or English, or they do a school leaving, or after that, you know, a stepping stone, you get this money, you could go and do a course or something. Yeah, a course or some kind of, let me take this last call here. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Miss. And Mr. Annie said good afternoon to you. You know, you make some valid points. And the disrespect that the PNM administration, the Rowley administration, did with, the Petro Train. And they're not keeping the bargain. And they see, when you want to come and give people 0.01% and 0.02%, I'm going to give 4%. And the cost of living is going so high. And government have all rights to negotiate with people to try and bring it on, because they don't pay the workers them nothing already. That's what they call total disrespect to the working class. And you see, the statement you make also about the CPAP and the URF is a valid statement. And that, you should take it to the UNC, because I think the only people that believe anybody right now is the UNC. Because they do not believe in PNM anymore. You understand? So take it that and make it to use, because that is a valid point.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. All right. So in wrapping up there, Mr. Aniset, I mean...
Yeah. All right. So let me add something more, and I want the public to understand. You cannot call on government employees, and I want to make it clear to the public that this experience was a government policy towards government employees only. The private sector didn't do that. But the most disturbing thing to me, you are asking us to make sacrifices and accept 0.02, 0.02. But the salary review committee recommended as much as 48%, 22, 30 percentage points, and he accepted it. Which is which? And I want people to really think about what I am saying. Because your salary is way above the ordinary public servant, and you could afford, but you know the analysis that was done. For you to get 48%, some people 22 over a 10-year period, is the same analysis that the union did that was rejected by this government, but they accepted from the Salary Review Commission for the increase in their salaries. People of Trinidad and Tobago, we have to be honest with ourselves, and we have to see things not in the terms of politics, not in the terms of ethnicity, but in the context of, is it fair? And is it right? Is it people's center? Is it any form of social justice? And what we can do collectively to take the country forward? You cannot ask the government employees to make us an increase. And you are an employee because we paying you. Our taxpayers paying you as politicians and as cabinet ministers and as a prime minister. And you accept the increases for yourself. But asking public servants and government employees, daily rated and otherwise, to accept a 4% over a 6-year period. That cannot be fair in any form, shape, or fashion.
Mm-hmm. All right, so thank you very much, sir. So keep up the good fight, right? Thank you.
Yeah. The pleasure is always mine. And, you know, thanks for the opportunity. And I mean, it was short and sweet, but I am open to develop on any other point, because there are so many things that we need to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
All right, as we move forward to election on the 29th of this month.
All right, sir.
Thanks for the opportunity. I do appreciate it.
All right, thank you very much, sir. All right, Mr. Michael Aniset of Natuk. We come back shortly. Freedom 106.5.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.